Exciting. Is Ty from the back there? Could you get me a bottle of water right there? Oh, there is one here. Thank you. As I open the word to teach, let's just prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord. Can we do that together? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask, Lord, for hearts of humility to your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move among us, Lord, helping each heart that is weary or weak to respond. Lord, for those who you have shown deep things and amazing things in your law, Lord, I ask that we would treasure these things. Jesus, I ask that you would be present among us, Lord, that you would establish us in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the working of your Spirit in power. So we say yes to you again. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege for us to always open the Word of God and not just read scriptures or listen to words. It is for us to respond to the person of Jesus. It is for us to respond to the working of God in our lives. That is the reason why we open the scriptures. So when we were considering the title or the theme for Word of Grace this year, when we considered that yield was going to be our focus, what does it mean for us to surrender? What does it mean for us to yield to God in everyday life? It takes an understanding or a reckoning. You need to be able to decide once for all. Is it I who live or is it Christ who lives? And this is a consideration that I want all of us to really weigh carefully. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3, and Galatians 2, 20, talk about this very simple concept, which is if Jesus died, I died. You know how when during worship we were singing that song, Yes Again, and we were singing the lines, whether I live, whether I die, oh, let it be for Christ. Yeah, okay, I understand that in concept. But you're not really living or dying, are you? I'm pretty safe where I'm at. We heard a story of a lady who had to make the choice between physical life or death. But all of these situations, even for us, the conversation is far more basic. According to Galatians 2:20 and Colossians 3:1-3, if Jesus died, I have died with him. Past tense. So if you're standing or sitting here this morning and you have committed your life to Jesus, what you are saying is, Judah, let me put my name there, has died. Past tense. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who died for me and gave himself up for me. That's Galatians 2:20. And according to Colossians 1:3, for my life is now hidden with Christ in God. It is not me who's living here. So the ownership I have over this physical body and my pursuits and dreams and hopes and all of that is subject to living with Christ. Aside from Christ, I have no life. Do you see how basic and fundamental this decision has to be? Because you're never going to be in a place to make a call when it is your physical life on the line, whether you live or die. The choice of choosing Christ is not one you can make at that point if you haven't already died to the world. If I have died to the world, and I have been crucified with Christ, my life didn't belong to me in the first place. So even sitting here in a Western context where you're no longer having to consider whether your physical life is at threat, the decision-making is the same. Some of us in this room, God might send to places where our physical life will be in danger. Some of you are walking through situations where it is really hard. But when I reckon that I have died with Christ, the life I now live has to be empowered by somebody else. So today's message is called Day by Day. And I want to read this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 onwards. It says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts and given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So God shone right into our darkness and he showed us Jesus. People who are walking in darkness, we suddenly saw the light. But guess what? We have this treasure in jars of clay, in earthen pots, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed at times. Are you confused at any point? Okay, but you're not in despair. Because why? We're persecuted, we're not forsaken, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. And if you did not understand that, keep going. Don't get lost just yet. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. And here's an amazing statement. So death is at work in all of us, but life is at work in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believed, so I spoke," we also believe and we speak, knowing that the Lord who raised Jesus from the dead will also bring us into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more people, that it may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. What is the purpose of all of this? That people who watch you go through the same kind of death experience that everyone else is experiencing, but with life at work within them. And they look at it and they rise up with thanksgiving to God. A world that is so in unbelief that there is no way there can be any silver lining in what's going on right now. And you say, "Watch me." Not in some bragging kind of way. But as you navigate the health issues of this life, and as you navigate losing of jobs, as you navigate this hardship, and as you navigate even your physical life being taken, you're saying, "I belong to another." And they watch and they say, "Wow, that person knows God. I don't know who this God is, but that person knows something I don't." And that results in glory to God. So, verse 16, and this is where I wanted to focus. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed, what? Day by day. It's an everyday thing. It's not a yesterday or in 1984 on July 1st, I committed my life to Jesus. Good for you. July 2nd showed up as well. And third and fourth. So my point is, it's great that you have a date that you can say, "This was when I was born again." But don't stay an infant. If you were born to the new life of Jesus, you got to grow now. And what is that? Day by day. But who is it who does this work in you? We talked about this when we talked about all in. When we say the series is all in, we're talking about holiness. You've been set out of the world. You've been taken out of the world and placed in the kingdom of God. And he says, it doesn't operate on that old system. Stop trying to fix it with human strategy. And if I form this kind of habit, if I read my Bible early in the morning for 20 minutes and then I have a prayer like this, and then if I have these meditations, then okay. You can game plan your life all you want. You will always fail. It's been happening since Genesis. All through, we came up with ways and we said, tell us what to do and we will do it. Okay, go ahead. And the law shows us that no matter what we tried, as Romans 3 tells us, all have fallen short of the glory of God. If glory of God was the bullseye, if you were aiming for that bullseye, it's not that you got on the board like, you know, you get like one of the edge rings or something. You were not even on the board. I was not even on the board. Because that same passage of scripture says not one of us was seeking after him. Not one of us was even saying, oh yeah, I need to chase after God. Or I need to go where God's going. If it wasn't for God saying, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he came and he made us alive to God. He came and gave us, he shone his light, as we read from this passage, he shone his light into our hearts. Suddenly we were seeing again. We thought we were seeing. We thought we understood life. We thought we knew what it meant to be a parent, right? Like what we were discussing this morning. We sometimes think we have it figured out. Oh, I went to that course on this and I know. We live in a time period where everything can be coursed. 5 steps to better parenting. Wait till tomorrow, you'll find the 6th one was missing. Right? It's like, no matter what you think you've gamed out, there's always something more. But I can sell you a course where you can do this. Or if you do this Bible study, you will be the best husband there is. Except for your wife. God has designed all of life to be a day by day by day exercise of surrender. The day I say, oh, well, I surrendered in 85, so I did the Christian thing. I know how Christian marriage works. Now leave me alone. I'll figure it out from here. Now it's just on me to work it out. Doesn't work. So therefore, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We are not used to power being a hallmark of the Christian life. One of the saddest things that what I would call this modern evangelical kind of experience that has become very, very, how do I accommodate places of unbelief in God that creates a context for where whatever my bad situation is it's just part of life. And then we have phrases like, maybe it's not the Lord's will for me to fill in the blank. So I refuse to go to God with whatever the situation is, but rather take great pride in being someone who says, I'm enduring all things because of Christ. I'm enduring all things, but have you actually gone to him with it? Suddenly it seems to be our badge of honor that I got problems too. Do you want to get out of the problem? or you're just hoping to cope with it. Whatever it is. If there is anything in our walk with Jesus that does not pursue life is at work in me. Yeah, sure, death is at work in my body. Guess what? One day I might be in the dirt because my body gave up. But it will not be because life is not at work in me. So whether it is cancer or whether it is something like a deep situation or past trauma or crazy kind of abuse that I faced when I was a child, whatever it is that was part of my story, I refuse to not bring it to the light of Jesus. Period. Because I'm no longer living for myself. So yes, the scars are deep. My hurt is deep. My struggle is intense. But I refuse to live a life that says, don't go to God with it. That's just yours to bear. So let's stop the talk. The Christian's life must be marked by the power of Christ in them. So yeah, some of it's going to look hard. It's going to take 20, 30 years sometimes. But what if you could be free today? And those things are only discovered when I come to Him. And we have accommodated a lifestyle that says, I do not need to operate in faith. I need to just, it's going around. it's winter. How many of you have said that? I have said that at various times. And that shows where our faith is. The book of James is very, very clear, and it is not trying to be offensive, but it is offensive. Let him who asks, ask with faith. If you ask with, if you feel like you want to throw me a bone, I got this cold, this flu thing going around. Give me like a light dose if you can. What are we playing for here? You get brownie points for trying to not ask for it? What is it that has led to this unbelief that says I can ask, but because I'm not sure it will work out, I should change my asking of the one who gives me life? Just change, just so that you can settle for whatever you're given. Just settle for it. It is challenging. I'm telling you this as someone who is challenged with this every day of my life. But if I am not challenged, where am I growing? If it doesn't challenge me on a fundamental level, a few years ago, I lost my father to cancer. I stood and I prayed and I prayed and I'm like, Lord, I want to see a miracle here. Guess what? I still pray for people with cancer. And I have seen over 4 people healed supernaturally from cancer. I know God does it. So I do not lose heart. So even though our bodies are wasting away, I will not stop at anything that chooses to say, hey, Judah, get back in your cage. That's not for you. You see? If it would have worked, it should have worked on your dad. My family has a history. We have a long history of miraculous signs and wonders of God doing amazing things. So every time I am tempted to go, this was like, God decided to putz out in the World Series, like 7th game, like what's going on here? He's not my genie in a bottle. I belong to Him. So my faith in Him is not dictated by, you got this win too and that win too. It's not about my wins or my losses. It is about faith and pursuing Him. Day by day, I come back to Him and say, Lord, I do not want to be someone who just talks. And then try and find a way to talk about my experience in a way that twists your scripture in a way that says, okay, this is livable. What I'm saying is extremely challenging. But I want you to see this first. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but a spirit, the capital S, spirit, who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this not with words taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I am not going to try and understand my way through healing. I'm not going to try and understand my way through the deepness and the richness of the wells of salvation. But I'm going to receive it. Why? Because it is received in my spirit. When I yield to the working of his spirit, he reveals things to me that are freely given to me by God. I don't have to try for it. Last week in our message, we went through this. Don't give it your best shot. There is a tendency in our, like, hey, just give it your best shot. Don't give anything your best shot. The practice of surrender is saying, God, I don't get it. I cannot write a book about this. I don't have the 5 steps. He's like, exactly, you don't. So stop trying to write a book. Just yield. And then suddenly, whether I live, whether I die, becomes a real statement. Whether I succeed or whether I don't becomes a clear statement. Why? Because I'm not fighting for me anymore. But I am pursuing everything that God has, no holds barred. I will go for it. Some of us sitting in this room, I know personally from your stories, there are things that God has done in your history where God says, all right, now step out. And you're like, but there's nothing there. He's like, go ahead. Are you stepping into what we would call blind faith? It would be blind foolishness to everybody else. But when God says, step out, he says, I know exactly where I'm taking you. So my assurance in this step is not a blind one. It is clear-eyed faith. It is saying, God has called me to this. It's just that I don't understand how all the ends are going to meet, how all the things are going to fit together. I just don't understand all those parts. But it is a practice that does not accommodate unbelief. And guess what is the biggest problem Jesus saw with people in his day? Unbelief. Which is why we who believe in him spoke. We speak in the context of saying, you're the one who made the promise, not me. So if you said it, you have to do it. It's not me. And I'm not fighting for keepsies. I'm doing this for your glory. Do you see how it suddenly changes the context of, well, did you win that one? Well, God must not really love you. Or maybe it was not God's will. We stop trying to fudge it. We stop trying to like find meaning in it. Lord, you will teach me what I need to be learning on this journey. So I'm not going to sit at every single thing and say, oh, God's teaching me a lesson. He's not. The lesson might have been over here and you're thinking it was that struggle. But he was saying, I was teaching you to lay hold of something. So trials, tribulation, we lay those things aside, not because they're easy, but we lay them aside in the context of glory. When we look at glory that is being achieved in us, we are like, ah, oh, this life is hard. But I know what I've been called to, and I will not let go of that. I set my eyes on something much bigger than myself. So we bring power seen in a place of weakness. Isaiah 40, this is a very famous passage, but it's one of my favorite. Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. He gives power to the faint, and let him who has no might To him he increases strength. Even youth will faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There are days when I feel so weary. And the Lord's saying, put those wings out. And he comes from underneath and he... If you've ever seen an eagle do this, it's almost like an eagle, like they just do like this little shoulder move and then they dip. And then suddenly they go... And the next thing you know, they're going, they take off. I'm like, how? You're not even flapping your wings. You're not doing nothing. It just, they catch wind and they go, they just go straight. It's almost like a rocket going into the sky. Wow. Just that perfect angle. And then they go. Are you feeling weary? Just put out your wings. Those who wait upon the Lord, it's like that. He says, let me be the wind beneath your wings. Let me be the strength in your legs. Let me be the one who energizes your heart for what seems so hard. I cannot, Lord, I'm weary. Lord, I cannot, I'm tired. Lord, I'm exhausted. I don't have what it takes. Let me be the strength. Suddenly, your everyday life story becomes something that he is writing, and he gets all the glory. And you know for a second, you know that not for a second have you been the author of this story, that you've made it work. Do you see why there is a problem with five steps to whatever? Because we think that worked. Are there good Bible studies? Are there good points to be taken? Even from my message, if I give you 3 points and you're like, oh, that was great, it will not help you. Tomorrow, you're going to have to go to the Lord and say, okay, he gave me 3 points, but Lord, I need you. And I opened my heart to saying, Lord, it is not I, but you. Nathan and I were talking about this last week in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Through 26. It really sums up what we're sharing here. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Behold, there are days coming when I will punish those who are just circumcised in the flesh. See, because there is a tendency for us to feel like we have achieved our righteousness. And God's like, I'm looking at the heart. Is your heart all in? Is your heart circumcised, which is the cutting away of flesh to say, I'm set apart for this purpose. Are you holy to the Lord? Where if the Lord calls you to something, it's not a question of, well, I'll consider it. I belong to him. And what would you have me do today? I want you to use your home for this. Okay, Lord, but we have soccer and we have this and we have, well, that has to change. Because I want you to use your home for this. Because I belong to somebody else. Oh, this is what I want you to do with finances for this. But Lord, we have these bills and blah, blah, blah. Prioritize it. Why? Because responding to whatever God lays on your heart is not a cheap thing. The blessing of the Lord resides where we obey quickly. Not looking for, well, if you could explain that better, I would really feel more comfortable with that. And there are some times we walk around in the wilderness and the Lord says, that's what we're dealing with. I won't take anything else. This is what I want you to lay down. But you need to understand it's always in the context of grace being given. It is not in the context of him extracting something out of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. But he said to me, and this is Paul talking about something that he was struggling with. And he was praying and asking the Lord to deliver him of this thing. And the Lord responded to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because my power, what is it? His power. Not, okay, I know, there. It is him saying, my power is perfected right in that place where you say, Lord, I got nothing. I'm out. Tapping out. I got nothing. And he says, great. Because now my power has a place to take center stage. My power is perfected in a place of weakness. So then this is his response then. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Not in the context of saying, well, here's my badge. Look how weak I am. But in the context of saying, I will readily admit it. My powerlessness is something I'm prepared to admit quickly. Not slowly, not when I've run out of rope, not when I've reached the end of my tether. Like say in your marriage where you feel like, oh, I understand my spouse great. We communicate so well and we're doing great. For all the ones who have done in this room who have helped with premarital counseling, it's funny how some of the conversations we had before you guys got married, you're like, oh yeah, we're great. We talk to each other. We're doing, it's like, good. And then you get married. And you wake up to them. And you don't get to say, leave me alone for too long. They're still in the same house. And you suddenly discover, oh, maybe I didn't get all the points about communicating in marriage. I didn't get all the... Why wait till you're at the end of your rope with communication or loving your children or handling finances or whatever it is, everyday life stuff. And then you suddenly come to that place where you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. He's like, great. Just admit that you are weak from the get-go, and my power is perfected in those places. Because then it becomes a relying on God, saying, Lord, help me understand my wife. I don't get it. Like, I've been married to her for almost 15 years now. Like, by now I should have gotten this. Like, why do I screw this up, like, even now? If that is not your posture after 50 plus years of marriage, you will fall tomorrow. It's day by day by day. So if I I'm a pastor, I walk. Tomorrow morning, if I choose, Monday morning comes and I say, I know the Lord. I got his calling card in my back pocket. The day you choose not to humble yourself, say, Lord, I need you. I'm not going to try and be a pro at Christianity or life. I'm just your child. Your grace is sufficient for me. Do you see how his grace will always be sufficient if I leave room for grace? As long as I want to become a pro at something, there's no room for not being a pro. Do you see that pro mentality? Oh, I've been a Christian for 25 years, and so, I mean, I don't really need to pray about those things. Oh, you don't, do you? That is when we get into trouble. We get into this place where we start to perfect ourselves in the flesh. And that is the rebuke you will see in the book of Galatians. He says, you started in the Spirit. You started in such the surrender to God doing something in you. And then suddenly you thought, okay, now I know how to do this. I'll just make this into a plan. And while this is not a generalizing statement, it is something that we need to watch out for in the general church experience. We create a worship set. And then there is a preacher. And then the preacher gives an altar call. And then we have offering. And then we go home. And then we say bye until next week. And we come back and we do the same thing. Do you see how the same things can feel nice, but there is no power? No power. And what is the biggest problem in the church today? No power. We got people who come to church, smile at everybody. Oh, your shirt looks nice. Oh, your kids look nice. Great. But my problems are not your problems. Your problems are definitely not my problems. And we just... Do you see what Christianity can do to you as opposed to what Jesus can do to you? When you make provision for grace to be worked out, being weak is not a stupid thing. It's not a foolish thing. Oh, you're weak in that? Yes, I am weak in that. Yes, I need the Lord's help in my marriage. As a pastor who helps with other marriages in this church, I am glad to admit I need help in my marriage. The day I think I have arrived and now I'm in a place to dispense to you the deeper things of God. Where do we get off saying these sorts of things? But the secret thing about churchianity is we do this to each other. We'll look at each other and we'll go, I'm at least not like him. I'm not like her. We do this internally. We don't say it out loud. It's a pride in ourselves. So when you go back to Acts chapter 1, he wanted us to have power to live every day. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So he's talking about going right from where this started all the way across the nation. So what we saw over this weekend was the nations all over the world, in places we know and places that cannot even be disclosed, people who are called by the name of Jesus saying, I belong to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The message has got out. You cannot put it back in the box. Jesus has gotten out to the nations. But what is it predicated on? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This was not just for the apostles. It was for everyone who would believe in his name. Everyone. John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus says, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, and this he was saying about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. And then it's talking about this Acts event, for as yet, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when the apostles were gathered in that upper room where this passage says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, who is this power for? Not the apostles, while it was for them too. Who is it for? Verse 39. This is for all those who believed in him were to receive. That includes you. Almost 2,000 years later, 2,000 plus years later, we are not talking about a Middle Eastern man who somehow is part of our salvation story. We're talking about a living Jesus who you and I meet and talk to. Bizarre. That's a bizarre concept. when you meet Jesus, it's not bizarre anymore. Now do you see why the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing? But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Sorry. Sorry, sweetie. But when we understand that the power of God is not, he's not playing for, oh, I hope you have a nice church service. I hope your kids do well in soccer. I hope they graduate okay. He's talking about in the midst of a world that is dark and perverted, he says, I want you to shine like light. In the midst of this place, we're not going to be taken out of this place just yet. So we don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. What is being achieved in you is something that is great. So this is where I want to end. You have been given a life for day by day. And it starts with saying, Lord, I'm willing to receive your power where there is weakness. Can we just do that together? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one who perfect your power in our weakness. We have this treasure in jars of clay so that the surpassing power might be yours and not ours. That what people see is you, not us. Lord, help us get to these places of making glad choices of surrender. Where even if it is a hard thing, Lord, on a heart level, it's a glad choice because we belong to you. Lord, teach us in our own lives and what it means for our own situations, Lord, what it means to gladly choose you. To say, today I choose to surrender my life to you, Lord. Show me what that means in my raising of my kids and what it means in my workplace with my boss and what it means when I'm handling things with my spouse or my finances. But what does it mean for me to surrender to you? Help these choices be easy ones in my heart, Lord. Lord, that the cost is something I'm willing to pay because I belong to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would minister this truth to your people this morning. That we would go away with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, not with a to-do list that we need to get right. Help us, Lord, to walk after you with holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Judah, for that. Just have a couple announcements before we all head out today. We're going to be gathering right here again this evening at 4 o'clock for our prayer gathering. So we gather together as the church in Indiana County. So churches from all over the area come here and we pray and lift up the needs of our community, of the nation. And it's a really sweet time to gather and worship together again this evening. And then next Sunday, we have our worship gathering at the Good House at the Sailor Home, right down on 96 Ober Road. Please carpool because there's not a lot of parking there. But it's a great opportunity for us to gather again and worship. And I know for me personally, every time we've gathered outside of just this building together in our homes to worship, it's been a really wonderful time. So we invite you to come out to that. Otherwise, so you can go get your kiddos. And tomorrow, whenever you reflect on today and maybe you forget a lot of this message, we can remember that we can come to the Lord with our weaknesses, even on a Monday morning. And I find a lot of hope in that as we start our week. So go get your kiddos and we'll see you next week.